All right. This is a emergency recording.
Yes.
Alert, alert, alert. Taylor Swift, Taylor Allison Swift is engaged to Mr. Dumb Dumb Stupid Head, Travis Kelce.
Mr. Dumb Dumb Stupid Head. He knows how to ball. She knows Aristotle.
Exactly. And I love that for them. Love it for them.
Same.
Yeah, we're just sneaking this in the beginning of this episode because we had to discuss. So
all the cool kids are doing it. If Jason Kelce can add a tag to the episode of New Heights, then we here at Hate Spinnerbait can add a tag onto the beginning of our episode to discuss it. Also, quick continuity error. I have short hair now. Hello. Hi. Look at me. Cute. You look happier. I am. I have a bob. When we return to talking about the chapters here in a few minutes, I will have long hair again. It was recorded in the past. There you go. Just wanted to address that off the bat.
Like a full month ago. It was recorded a full month ago.
So this is the debut of my new hair.
And we love her.
And y'all get to see more of her soon, but you're going to get one more chatty chat with me with long hair coming up here shortly. But anyways, I have babbled on. We are not here to discuss my hair, people. We are here to discuss the engagement of the century. The town crier has come out and told us, given us tidings of joy. And we're here to discuss it because it was just dropped on all of us on a Tuesday and shit went down. Michael Ann, would you like to tell the people we're going in order. We're going to do our first reactions, our delayed reactions. We're going to talk about the ring. So hit us with your gut reaction to the news.
I am so sorry to say this.
I was like, it wasn't great.
But my gut reaction was not good.
We're here at Hate Spinnerbait. We hate Spinnerbait, but we love honesty. So we appreciate you being honest.
I am just at this point where I
speak
am
your
like
truth.
So fucking sick and tired of rich people, especially when there's so much inequality happening right now. And we're just getting like hammered daily by new shit all the time. To then open my Instagram feed and see this like 8-carat diamond ring, I was like, okay, fuck you guys. I actually don't care at all. I don't care at all. So that was my first reaction.
Yeah, it made her a little angry.
Did. It did. It enraged the I don't know, the French in me. There's no French in me, but you know what I mean.
But we always are here to viva la revolution. Yeah. Yes. 100%. Yes. So that was the initial reaction for you. My initial reaction was a lot happier. Yes, is anyone surprised, though, really knowing the two of us? Like, I was like the golden retriever about it, and Michael Ann was the black cat. There has to be one in every friendship. It's fine. But my first reaction, okay, I'm at work. Let me set the scene. I am working through lunch yesterday. We had one patient. It was a couple of us and the doctor in the room. And all of a sudden, my watch starts like going off. And weirdly enough, the first person, and I didn't really find out the news, but I like had a guess that something was going on because the first person was in my fantasy football chat. I get added. So like it buzzed through, you know, and notified me because I was specifically added. And it just said, like, have I seen the news? And I was like, what the F is this person adding me about what news? I thought I had something, honestly, to do with the Detroit Lions because it's the fantasy football chat. So right. I was like, okay. And then my mom texted me and I was like, hold the front door. So I literally gasped out loud and I was like, y'all, I think we have breaking news. And the doctor was like, what's going on? And because, like, he jokes around with me, like, all the doctors joke around with me that, like, I'm going to be invited to her wedding someday, that, like, you know, this and the other, like, you know, they've been asking me about the new album. We're going to talk about the new album in a minute. Anywho, so he's like, what's going on? Did not know originally I was talking about Taylor Swift. And I go, I think the Taylor Swift is engaged, but let me get to a computer. Pop up on the computer. Of course, we all want to see the ring. I'm like, oh my God, it's happened. And everyone's like, oh my God, it's happened. And then I was like, let's see the ring. It's going to be hideous because rich people rings are always hideous. And honestly, my gut reaction was, yeah, I was correct. The ring is hideous. But I was happy. Yay, love. And then I had to carry on with my work day. My boss did tell me I could have off for the wedding, even if I didn't have the PTO. And I was like, thanks. Appreciate you. That's not going to be the case because I would never be invited to it. But that's really nice. I'm to for you to offer. So it was jokes. It was bands. It was getting through the work day. Everyone came back from lunch because, again, this happened at lunch. I was working, but obviously not everyone was. Everyone wanted to know my reaction. And I was like, my job here is done. Everyone knows that I'm the office Swiftie. This is great. And then honestly, which this will delve into delayed reaction, I guess, it was when I got home and I started seeing all the posts about stuff that I got like real hype. Cause at the time I was just like, oh, that's great news. Like happy for them, you know, whatever. But then when I got home and started like seeing all the posts and getting distracted, and then I just like really got like mushy and like emotional about it. And to be clear, like it has something to do with them, but it doesn't really have anything to do with them. It's just the fact that like for an afternoon, everyone was just happy about something together. And like everything sucks recently. And it was just so like people were making funny memes, like people being funny about it. People were being happy about it. People were bringing up valid points, like how nice it is that, you know, girls out there and young women out there see the Taylor Swift get engaged at 35 and hopefully know that, like, that means that, like, you don't have to settle for things, ladies. Like, it's fine. Like, 35 is still young. Like, you know, all that jazz. Yeah, and again, like, having listened to this woman write about love for the last, like, 20-ish, almost close to 20 years now, and having been a fan of her since I was a wee little, you know, like high schooler, like I was generally happy for her. I was like that, like literally I have listened to this woman drone on about men for years and maybe some women. And I'm just like happy that she's like having her little like happy ever after moment. I'm also happy that like she got to be like, I saw a bunch of people posting last night that she got to be like a millennial about it and like post about it on Instagram. And I think that was the part that like blew my mind the most about this, because I was like, I think Taylor Swift will get engaged one day. I think she will probably get married one day. But, like, in my mind, I was always like, what is that going to be like? Like, again, having been a fan of hers for most of my life now. And also, like in my mind, I was like, oh, like, just one day she'll show up and she'll be married. Like, we're not going to know anything. Like, because, again, yeah, like, pre-reputation, she was on Tumblr. She was, like, making silly vlogs. Mm-hmm. She was, like, she had a very parasocial relationship with her fans. And then everything went to shit. You know, there for a while with the snake emojis and the Taylor Swift is canceled party and all of that. And she's been a lot more reserved. And also, again, just for security reasons and whatever reasons, like she's the most famous person on planet Earth. So she can't be as like down to earth and like whatever with us anymore, which I understand. But this was just like such a like this is what all of us millennial women have done. Like we got engaged and like kept it a secret maybe for like a minute, and then we posted about it on Instagram and we had this caption in our head and we were so excited with our little caption and like, you know what I mean? Like I was just like, I'm so happy. Like it just was so normal that like, yeah. I don't know, like that just made me happy. But anyways, your delayed reaction, because obviously I feel like you're in much better spirits about it now than your first reaction, which both are valid in their own ways.
Yes, my first reaction was eat the rich. My delayed reaction was that same as you, I'm happy for them. I didn't even think about the whole like she got to post on Instagram and be like a millennial, like that's cute. Did not even think about that, but I am surprised she announced it on her own Instagram.
Right.
When I first saw it, I thought it was Taylor Nation.
Yeah.
And then it was Taylor Swift. And I was like, oh shit. She like announced she posted herself.
This is crazy. The captions adorbs.
Yep.
Yeah. Like so caption, crazy.
Yes. I still don't like the ring, but like, can you really make a pretty ring with a diamond that big?
No. I also like, think, though, I would like a more high-definition picture because originally I thought it was one diamond, and some people are saying there's the setting is in the middle, so it might be two diamonds, but it's really hard to tell. I think it's just one diamond, but it's big. Or not big, but, like, it's shallow. Like, you can see the setting. It's a big diamond, but it's a shallow diamond, is what it looks like to me, but it's really hard to tell in this photo, to be perfectly honest. I'm like, can we get the high def photo, please?
Yeah. I need a high def photo, please.
The girly pops, the jewelry girly pops, they out there. They're on the TikTok and they're like breaking this ring down. And I do have some thoughts. Again, I still don't think that it's for me. Mm-hmm. I still am of the mind of like, you know, kind of like you were saying, like eat the rich. Like, I just don't think anyone needs a diamond ring. But again, I said this today because people were like, what are your thoughts on the ring? And I was like, I kind of think it's hideous, but I'm like kind of coming around to some aspects of it. And I was like, but I feel like we discussed this many, many moons ago. We're like, can you imagine one day like the Taylor Swift is going to be engaged? Like, is she wearing her engagement ring on stage? Like, I just can't picture that. You know what I mean? And then this ring dropped and I was like, yeah, she's not shimming in a bodysuit with that ring on her. I'm sorry. Like, she's just not. Like, is she going to wear it in her WAG lifestyle? Like showing up to the stadium to support Trav? Of course, she's wearing the ring. But like, I feel like in her day-to-day life, she's not wearing that ring. You know what I mean? Or like, again, like on her day-to-day life, yes. But like her like music career life, she's not wearing that ring, you know?
Right.
She might prove me wrong, but like, that's just what I think. Here's some things that I like about the ring though. I will give credit. Again, there's estimates on how much, like they're all over the place. Like some people are saying 500,000. Some people are saying up to 5 million. I have no idea. I don't know anything about jewelry. It could be anyone. I'm hoping it's on the lower side because why does anyone need to spend that much money on a ring? But here's some things that I like about the ring. So the girly pops out there know the jewelry, and AP News reported on it with, this is officially from Tree Payne. So like, it is like legit news. This is not like hearsay. Who did it, which is the Kindred Lubric. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Apologies to this designer if I'm not. But I do really like that she is like an independent like person and that she's a female. I like that. And she's like apparently kind of like known as being like the best in her game in goldsmith. Like she learned it from her dad and whatever. And I appreciate the fact that like Travis went to someone, again, maybe this was Taylor and Travis, that was also discussion in our group chat yesterday. Like, do we think, how much say do you think she had in this ring? But like when you were planning to propose to the Taylor Swift, who again is like the top in her game at what she does at her craft, I like that like they went and found this like really good goldsmith apparently who's like really good at like hand engraving and whatever. And I was like, a female, she's an independent person, like it's not some big like corporation or whatever. And the thing I really like about it is that apparently it's ethically sourced, like it's an old mine diamond, so we like that. And apparently, yes, it's an old mine brilliant cut, said Tree Payne, Swiss publicist. She provided no further details. She did provide that it was from Kindred Lubeck, and that whatever. But it kind of reminded me, and Taylor still does this now, but she definitely used to be very known for doing this, like wearing up and coming designers and stuff in her clothes. And obviously her wearing them really kind of like put them out there. And I kind of felt like that's what happened with this ring. And I do like that it is like vintagey. Like it does have like some, like it is unique looking. Like, again, is it massive and hideous? Yeah. But it is like, I didn't look at it and go, oh, it looks like every other celebrity's massive gaudy ring. Like there was something about it that I was like, yeah, that's Taylor Swift. Like in a weird way, you know, I'm like, yeah, I can see her liking that. Which again, hey, as long as she likes it, it's not my ring. Like, rock on with your bad self, I guess. But okay, I was like, all right, we like an old mine ring. We like that it was ethically sourced. We like that it came from this like independent lady. These are, I can get down with that. And again, someone who specializes in this, in her craft, the top of the game in her craft. So I was like, yeah, like I like that. So that brought me joy, but it's still kind of a hideous ring.
It is. I mean, those are all good aspects. Yeah. But
what is she doing? What are you doing?
Yes. Those are all good aspects, but at the end of the day, ugly.
Ugly. Sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Like, whatever. Taylor Swift's never gonna know our opinions, nor will she care. Like, she's living her best life. She's a billionaire. Like, it's fine. She is fine. She is happy with it. And that's my thing with anyone's engagement ring. My opinion really doesn't matter. The only opinion that matters engagement rings is when I'm wearing, which I love. I don't care what anyone else thinks about my ring. And that's how I feel like every person should be. It's for you. If it's to your taste, that is all that matters. But yeah, that's been ring talk with Bethany and Mike Lynn.
Love it. Our last little item we wanted to discuss about this engagement because we also have to talk about the album. But
sorry, Taylor has just come out with a lot of news, y'all, since we've recorded. Yes. So you're just getting a little bits and bobs.
So the last thing is predictions for the wedding. And I'm really torn here because I'm like, is this going to be something we don't know anything about? We don't see anything. Someday they're just going to be like, we got married. Your gym teacher and your English teacher got married. or is like, I just like really don't see her doing like a public.
Me either. I could be wrong because I was wrong about like, I just can't imagine her like one day posting that she's engaged and here she did. I guess I should have known. Again, this woman has been writing love songs for us forever. So I guess we should have expected her to post about her engagement. But no, I feel like it's going to be private. Right? Like, I just don't think, again, I think she will post about it inevitably. Like, she'll let us see the dress. I do think she's going to let us see the dress, which I'm so excited to see. But I don't think we'll have a clue. And it'll be like months later, we'll find out. Like, Ed Kelsey's going to come out.
Yeah.
Kelsey's like, they got married, back in whatever. It was beautiful.
Yes.
Ed Kelsey, our new source.
I feel like, too, if she did, like, if everybody knew the date of the wedding, chaos would erupt.
Chaos. Just from like, I understand how important security is to her. I can't imagine her wanting it to be like some kind of security nightmare for anyone in attendance to get injured for anyone. And again, if fans found out and they all wanted to camp out together, it's like when people find out she's in a wedding or attending a wedding, small gobs of people try to gather. If people were to find out it was her wedding, can you imagine the crowds that would amass? And again, like, I think that she's a good enough person slash also it would be terrible PR for your fans to get trampled in some kind of, you know, crush incident. So I think they would be smart enough to know, like, we don't want anyone to lives to be endangered over our nuptials here. So like, I think it would, I would assume they're going to try to keep it on the hush hush, but
yeah,
same. We'll see. I don't know.
But I think it's going to be very much like the proposal was, where it's like ethereal and fairy gardens and stuff like that.
Yes. At least I hope so. Because again, like, that to me just like screams Taylor. I've discussed already in the group chat my fear about it being the white blob, the flower athlete wedding. I really don't think so. Because again, apparently Travis had a hand in setting up this little garden in his backyard. Again, he didn't go out there and put the flowers, but like, he paid someone to do this, you know, and there was pops of colors and it was very pretty. And it wasn't just blobs of white roses. It was like peonies and whatever. And I was like, okay, hello. So I'm more hopeful now that it's going to not be sterile athlete wedding
for sure,
and it will be, again, I think it's gonna be, he seems like a smart enough man to know like it's whatever Taylor wants, like this is her show here. And I think, yes, I could see it being very, like you said, ethereal, romantic, vintage-y. I wonder where it's gonna be. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. That's like, I don't know. And I know that this is probably like stupid to some people, but like, I love a wedding dress. I'm excited to see the wedding dress one day whenever we're privy to see it. I'm excited to see any little glimpses we get of the wedding because I'm a sucker for a wedding. I enjoy a wedding. And yes, maybe I do have, you know, again, I've been following this woman's career for most of my life. So I'm just like excited to see what she does. And also like sometimes like, eat the rich, but also it's kind of fun to see what people do when they have money. You know, you're like, what do you do with all that? Like, what things can you afford for your wedding? Because I had to like, you know, we had to like pinch our pennies and make it work. But if money, blue sky, if money is no cost, like what do you do with your wedding, you know? And unfortunately for most celebrities, boring. It's boring shit. But I really expect more out of Taylor and I want it to be better than that. So here's hoping she doesn't put all that money to waste.
Yes. Agreed to all of that. And then finally, to wrap us up, we can discuss TS12, baby.
But like I have one more thing to say about love. And then, yes, we're going to talk about what we're all really here for, which is the art, the music. But we did have to discuss the royal wedding. The closest thing that we'll ever get to a royal wedding, which may I just say that as an American, sorry, it's unfortunate most of the time. But Mike Lan and I are not the biggest fan of the Royals. And I get a little caught up in the Royal wedding shindig sometimes, people. I'm not going to lie. I'm not above it. But again, like, these weddings are a big deal and they're televised and all this hoopla and merchandise is made over them because, like, these people just happen to be born to a certain family. Like, at least our version of a royal wedding, like, both of them, like, made themselves. Like, they're self-made. Like, they weren't just born into this. Like, they just, yeah. They have a career that made them famous. Anyways, yes. Not the point. The last thing I was going to say about the love thing, which, again, I think what hit me last night and got me excited is, again, like, I think all females, we've been in shitty relationships and we've, like, expected less from our partner before. And, you know, like, again, we've heard so many times from Taylor's discography that, like, she's been with so many people that, like, think that they're cooler than her. Like, think that, yeah, like, her little pop music is it, like, she's whatever, as if she isn't, again, the Taylor Swift. So even, like, when you were the Taylor Swift, you can be with shitty men who belittle you and make you feel, you know, insignificant and inferior, which is crazy to me when you're Taylor Swift. Yeah. So obviously all other women and girls have experienced it. And again, we've discussed, I don't think Travis Kelce is a perfect person by any means, but, like, that man worships the ground she walks on. And, like, I just want that to be, again, for, like, all the girly pops out there that are, like, taking emotional abuse and shit from their boyfriends. Like, you want someone who, like, the way that they were together in, like, the New Heights podcast, because we haven't really been able to discuss that either. We're not gonna, but, like, he just, like, worships her. And I'm just like, that's, like, yeah, what you want. You know what I mean? Anyways, so I don't know. I just, like, hopefully it's setting a good example for women, I guess, is the point. Like, you can get engaged whenever you want. It's never too late. And, like, don't settle for less. And that's enough about that and my rant about how I just want all women to be with people who think that, like, who are just obsessed with them. Yes. That's what all women deserve.
I'm going to do this next part super fast because don't have to edit any of this. Yes. Okay.
Yes. La, 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 la. Okay. Let's just show girl. We're so excited. Sweden. We got Sweden. So emotional over Sweden. I'm still emotional over Sweden. Mm-hmm. Swifties in Sweden lives on. We cried. We're so excited. I'm so excited about this album. It's perfect. We're coming out in fall. I love a fall release. It's orange. It's sparkly. It's like all the things I love. It's orange and sparkly. It's Sweden. Max Martin and Shellback are back, and I'm so excited. Everything they've ever produced with her is gold. It's going to be an album of bangers, but apparently still got some heart and some poetry. We are ready. We are so excited. Any other thoughts?
All the pictures are hot, and I can't wait to listen to the music, and I find the darkness of it very intriguing, and I'm excited to see what the full story ends up being.
Yeah, yeah, all the art she's put out for it so far, like, all the pictures, the photography has been great, the theme is great, I'm so excited for this new era, like, again, I just love the title of the album, like, I don't know, everything about it is just really cool to me. And I'm really excited. And it's just been a great time to be a Swiftie. There's been a lot of exciting news. And I think we're ready to talk once and for all now.
Yes, we are. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Hello, Trust from the Past. Bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love Luna Blue's fried pickles.
Yay. Oh, I wish I could be eating fried pickles right now.
Thanks. I'm Michael Ann, and with me, as always, is Bethany. And
hello, you can see us.
Your eyes. If you watch us on YouTube. We're very cute.
We're adorable. I am wearing the same braid that I was wearing last night to go to bed. But what I did is I kind of just swooshed the bottom of it and fixed my bangs. And then I was like, that'll do.
Perfect. I put some dry shampoo in this bitch. Put it up in a clip. Yeah.
Love it.
That's all y'all are getting from me today. I'm sorry.
And she's ready to go.
It's 10 a.m. on a Sunday.
It's 10 a.m. on a Sunday. The regular crew shuffles in. Yes, it's... We're here early in the morning getting some things done. Let us discuss the chapters that we came here to discuss today, which is, of course, chapter 13 and 14. We are so excited. Quick couple things. Okay, trigger warning. As per usual, when it comes to this novel, there is mentions of gun violence, school shooting. If that's not something you can handle right now, totally respect that, or can handle ever, because you shouldn't really be able to handle that ever. Totally understand. We'll see you on the next book or the next chaos episode. Other thing, just a quick recap of our heavy hitters. My dog is just sitting at my feet, like crying at me, and I'm not really sure what's going on. So I'm going to have to check in on her.
Wants to be on camera.
Yeah, I was like, Luna, did you just want to say hi to the people? Come here. Did you get to go on a ride today?
She did? Already?
Like, Mama, to go get coffee this morning? Because Mama was like, I'm going to be bad and go buy coffee and not just make coffee at home.
You know what, girl, treat yourself. The world is in shambles.
The world is burning. Let me just have this one happy little thing, you know? I got a muffin and a coffee. Oh, my
God.
And we got the cutest girl puppy in the whole wide world. Oh, my goodness.
She's a star. See, this is why you need to follow us on YouTube.
Yeah. Y'all are missing the adorableness that is Luna Darcy if you're not following us on YouTube. So you should follow us. She's so absolutely cute. A star. I think she really wants my muffin. It's gone, baby girl. There's no more muffin to share. I'm sorry. There's mine. She's too big to pick up. Oh, look at her just sleeping peacefully. Sweet girl. She can be a hellion, but you can also be sweet girl.
So sweet. Also, please don't judge. Please don't judge my outfit.
This is a judgment-free zone here.
It's been a morning for me.
It's been mornings, yeah. We are recording brain early, and it's already been a whole day.
Yeah.
But listen, when it's going to be like 100 degrees out, you have to get up early in the morning and get things accomplished, or you're not going to get it done because you don't want to go and step outside your house. But, okay, quick recap.
Currently a heat wave right now, too.
Yes, yeah. At time of recording, we are going through it here in the Southeast. Tots and pears, please. Tots and pears. Anyways, so our girl Luna, she is our main character. She works for her mom's wedding planning, which is run by her mom and her mom's bestie, William. They're both cynical, jaded people. They have been working in weddings for too long. Her best friend is Jilly. Jilly is one of those poor eldest daughters who's basically stuck parenting her parents' children. That's some BS for her. Feel for you, Jilly. Luna, of course, tragically lost her first love. And he was killed, and she basically the summer after graduation is like trying to get out there. There's this guy Ambrose who's currently working with her because of a whole situation with his sister who's getting married and using this wedding planning service. And he is something. He's something. We love him. And his little dog Ira. And yeah, those are pretty much our heavy hitters. That's what you've missed on Glee so far, just as a friendly recap. And with that said, let's dive on in to chapter 13.
Chapter 13.
Don't unplug my microphone, man.
You're welcome for that song.
I like
that. Okay. Chapter 13. So this is a heavy, heavy chapter. So we're going back to the night that she met Ethan.
I love you.
Oh, kisses. We are a little later in the day. It starts with her, with one of them saying, you know, what time is it? And then you're not supposed to ask. She said they made this rule about 4 a.m. And we still had a while. We made this rule around 4 a.m. when it was dark. And we still had a while until daybreak. But now it's 6 a.m. The sky is turning lighter. So the night's starting to end. And they're back where they started, which is just below the hotel on the sand. We find out that after finishing their pie and coffee, they'd walked along the boardwalk, then the main road of Colby, passing a couple blinking streetlights, only a handful of cars. She says she wanted to keep walking when they got to the hotel, but Ethan's dad was leaving at 8 a.m. sharp for the long drive back to New Jersey, so they just had to go back to the beach, unfortunately.
Their time is running out.
Time is running out. She says, I've never felt so close with anyone ever. We find out that they had sex under the pier. It sounds like it was very like loving and romantic, and like this whole thing has been like very filled with love. Like there's it's not like shady and weird.
And we love a king who asks for consent and keeps making sure, because Ethan sounds like he was really making sure that our girl was, you know, feeling it. And we love that. We respect that.
This is her first time. So, you know, that always adds an extra level of sentimentality.
Yeah.
She, you know, she said it hurt a little bit, which she'd expected. She cried after. Which is like super common, I feel like, because you just have so many emotions after sex. Mm-hmm. But now they're cuddling on a lounge chair on the beach. And she says it would only be a matter of time before someone came along and it would kind of break the spell that they're under, thinking like feeling like they're the only ones out here. Ten hours, Ethan said, and she looks up to him, looks up at him, not up to him. she's noticing things like a freckle on his chin, scar on an eyebrow, and a little bit of stubble already coming in. He says that's how long the drive is to his town from here. She says that's not bad at all. Half a day, no biggie. So they start making plans about what they're going to do when she comes to visit him. He's going to take her to this place that has pretzels and limeade. Limeade, by the way.
Phenomenal. Limeade. Always. Love a limeade.
A cherry limeade. Sign me the fuck.
Every time. Hits. It's so good.
It hits so good. And he's going to take her to the town bell. And then she talks about what he's going to do when he comes to Lakeview. She's going to take him to Luna Blue for the fried pickles and to see the angel, which is a pretty long callback, honestly.
Yes.
This is from, obviously, The Truth About Forever. Yes.
Our sweet, sweet boy, Wes, and his wonderful art.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to assume if it's outside this realtor's office, which again, we're going to assume is Macy's mom. Do we think it's like Macy's angel, like the one that can fly? I hope it's that one.
Oh,
plus. Or do we think it's another one? I don't know. Either way, adorable.
Adorable. Yeah, she says it. She describes it. It's a sculpture, metal one right outside the office downtown. The woman's a realtor or something. It's huge with these crazy wings made of bottle caps.
Okay. So it's gotta be Macy's because she's the only one that has wings. So yeah, it's hers. Oh, I'm emotional.
I know. This chapter
it's
like
beautiful.
It's beautiful. I love that callback. And I love how Desen, like, she doesn't just call back the last book she wrote or the one before that. You know, The Truth About Forever is from like 2004,
I think. I want to say something like that. It sounds right. It's an oldie. It's an oldie but a goodie.
It is. So this was written in 2004. So this is like hella long after that book was written. So I love that. I love that. Like 10 years, honestly, right? Oh, no, we can't hear you anymore.
All right. Sorry. Where were we?
She's like, I'm going to bring you to this. Yeah, we were talking about how it's really cool that she called this moment back. Because this is like a day after.
Yeah.
So,
Sarah with her absolutely phenomenal. I love like I don't know what we even called it. The Desen verse, the Lakeview verse. Everything is interconnected. I also mark this down for the next interview because I've mentioned this before, but we've never asked her. But like, obviously, when we're reading these books, as mentioned, they are taking place over years and years of time. Like the difference between The Truth About Forever and Once and For All, like you said, this is over a decade ago that was written. But certain times when you read certain books, it's like things are almost happening like at the same time, like congruently. And so I'm so intrigued in her mind. Like, did these all take place within a few years of each other? Like, in her mind, is this taking place much, much after? The Truth About Forever. But yeah, like certain times, like in certain books, and mind you, those are ones that are a bit closer to each other. Like they will go meet up with like Remy and Dexter, and Remy and Dexter, it's like they're just like they're still like Remy's still a freshman in college, and you're like, oh, in my world, it's been 4 years. She should be graduated. But in this book, I guess that's happening like at the same time. But yeah, I'm always intrigued, like in her mind, what is the timeline?
Yes, yeah. Especially because what was the other thing I was gonna say? Oh, that book we read recently that had Deb in it.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, so is Deb like if she was still in school, like it's just interesting. I'm always intrigued about the timeline.
Is there, I'm writing this down on our little list. Cause next time we're gonna be so prepared next time.
So prepared.
We are going to be like, we're going to be professionals. Yeah, 100%. The first time we did pretty good, but I think we were we were so like overwhelmed with like meeting Sarah Dustin.
Yes. I mean, can you blame us? You know,
seriously.
A lot. Truly.
Okay. So she says with every silence now, she was more aware of the passing of time. He's telling her that he's so glad that he left the wedding and came down here. She says she couldn't decide if she wanted to close her eyes and just listen to him or keep them open so I could have him in my gaze as long as possible. This chapter was like, I was like literally crying reading this. She says, not as glad as I am. For once, I really did do something epic. Which is a reference to what Jilly is telling her she needs to be doing. And he says, I think that's the first time I've ever been referred to in those terms. And she says, but not the last, as long as I'm around. And he says, oh, you'll be around. Don't worry about it.
Mm. Right in my feels.
My heart breaks into 1,000 pieces. So then his phone rings again. It's his dad. He answers it. His dad, his dad apparently wants to leave early now. Now his dad's like, we got to get out of here. And Ethan's trying to be like, well, we said till 8. Like he's trying to like kind of drag it out. But dad's like, no. He has 35 minutes from that phone call until they leave. They're very sad. They're both like, I don't want to go. I don't want to separate. But he's like, I have to. Like, it's my dad. She makes a joke about the Lexi Navigator song. She's going to say, it's like she took you. She says, it's like she took you away from me. He's like, don't hate on Lexi. It's a good song. She's like, but not the one that made you cry. And he said, that's between me and you, Lulu. I trust you. She's like, I won't let you down. He says, you never could. She starts crying and he's like, don't cry. You know that I'm easily emotional. She's like, this has been so great. I don't want to end it on a bad note. And he was like, end? Nothing's ending here. At least not for me. This is just a pause until we're together again. So he's like full in. They're both like head over heels, just like in young love.
Yeah.
Which as we've discussed on the show so many times, like, that young love, first love is like such a unique experience and feeling, and it's a lot. And so they're both just like wrapped up in it and they love, they're just like in the clouds. He kisses her long and hard. She said, I've never felt so happy and sad at once. The absolute convergence of two opposing emotions. And together they made my heart full enough to feel like it might break. When we finally pulled back from each other, I was sobbing. And he's like, don't. We'll talk all the time and text and make plans right away. And she's like, okay. And he's like, we will. He said, thinking I was doubting this, but I wasn't. I never doubted him. There just wasn't enough time. Oh shit, my headphones are dying. Give me 1 second.
Uno momento, por favor. Hmm.
I was singing the song with you.
Oh. Beautiful. Thank you for harmonizing with me.
Honestly, yeah, that is what the world is missing right now, quite fucking honest.
to be completely honest,
to be clear. Okay, so yeah, like they're leaving, they're wrapping up. She walks him to the hotel. He jumps upstairs, gets his shit. She's in the bathroom. She is like, oh my God, I look crazy. She kind of gets herself together. Yeah, she's like, her dress is all crazy, but it's like a good thing because it's like proof of what like happened tonight. She reaches up, picks out a dune grass from her hair, and then turns it in her fingers slowly. She says, this is what it will feel like when he's gone, I told myself, but the thought was too big. Not yet. Back in the lobby, Ethan is standing out there waiting for her. He found her phone, apparently, so he gives that back to her. And he's like, I'm going to call probably before I even leave the lot. They give each other their numbers, which is like so funny. The thing,
yeah,
like they had this big romantic night, they don't have each other's numbers,
yeah,
it's like it's reality like, TV,
yeah, exactly. Like they, like, yeah, they've never seen, yeah, each other's place, met each other's family, yeah, I have
the, social media,
like, yeah, social media stalk them, their phone number, but they just have like the most magical experience. Yep,
I love it. So yeah, his dad pulls up, she's like, please stay, and he's like, I wish I could, he's like, I gotta go. She says, I'll be there for Limeade before you know it. He said, I'm holding you to that. Then he kissed her again. He says, this isn't over, Lulu. This is only the beginning, right? And she said, the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's just like so sad. Like it's so hard to read. They like hug and stuff. He tells her that he loves her. She says she loves him too. Oh my God, this is so sad. I'm like literally like a mess right now. And then he was gone, walking over to the doors, pushing through them and outside. She said, I only got the briefest glance of his dad, also tall, stocky, and dark haired, watching him approach from over the roof of the car. Ethan puts his bag in, jumps inside. She said, I knew I'd already gotten my goodbyes, several of them, but I still couldn't make myself move as his dad got behind the wheel, started the car, and then drove off. She said, my last glimpse of Ethan was this combination of the doors turning and the car moving in a prism of motion and spinning that left me dizzy and yearning, as if the whole world itself tilted, not just my own.
Aww. What makes this chapter so difficult, obviously, Sarah wrote it so beautifully, and obviously you feel for these characters and this lost first love and this boy whose life was cut short. But I think, like, that's the thing is, like, this is people's real experience. Like,
yeah,
you never know. Like, there are so many times where people's lives are cut short unexpectedly, and the person who knew them and loved them didn't know that at the time. Like, you never know when it might be your last time that you see someone that you love or whatever. And, like, here she was mourning him already, in a sense, but she didn't even know the mourning that she would have, you know? Like, here she's just, like, upset because they're, you know, she's worried about it being the end, and he keeps reassuring her, like, no, 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 like, this is just the beginning, because, like, it should have been for them. Like, they should have had that right to meet up for Limeade, and to meet up with Pickles with the Angels, but, like, that they never get that because, of course, what happens to him. And it's just, like, yeah, it's just, like, heartbreaking, plain and simple, and knowing that, like, so many people have had this experience. And again, like, to know what it's like to lose your first love in a normal way, but to lose them in a way like this is just like, I don't know. It's just unfathomable.
It's unfathomable, really. And like, as you said, this is so many kids have had this experience, I'm sure, yeah. Because how many kids have died in school shootings at this point? I mean,
an asinine amount.
Yeah, an unacceptable amount. It's insane that we aren't doing anything about it. I think that is like, that like doesn't make any sense to me at mm-hmm. all. Like, I just like can't wrap my head around it. Everything seems like it seems like these people, y'all know who I'm talking about, are just like pure, unadulterated evil. Like, yeah. That's how it feels. Like, it feels like they're demons from hell. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we could be doing so much and we're doing the opposite of that.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah. I don't know. Again, we're not the first people to say that anything over zero is too much. The second the first person was ever shot in a school shooting, we should have done something about it. And yet here we are so many years later and children are still being traumatized. Like it's a lot. This, again, this is some like we are supposed to be like this developed great country. And yet like we send children off to school every day, not knowing if they'll return home. That's insane to me. That is a literal insane thing. Like that's just a crazy thing.
And like the gun law people, Second Amendment people who are like, I don't take my guns. They like are just now saying now in the year 2025 being like, well, you know, that's just that just happens sometimes.
It just happens. Just
have to keep going. And it's like, no, no.
Like what? And this doesn't happen in like any other country. So I like if they figured it out, I think we could too. You know, like what did they do? It's I don't know.
100,000% preventable. 100,000% preventable. And we are doing literally nothing. And now we're just shrugging and saying it's just a part of life. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yep.
But that's chapter 13.
Yeah. So uplifting. Really so so happy. But yeah, just what an absolutely stunning chapter, though. Like truly. Yeah. I think some of Sarah's best work, like just,
yeah,
like absolutely just heartbreaking. Yeah, that's chapter 13. We're feeling great, obviously. And that takes us on to chapter 14, which thankfully lightens the mood a little bit. I think we needed like a silly kind of antics chapter. Like chapter 14 is like what happens in fanfic. This is like there was only one bed. This is yes. The people don't show up to the photo shoot and what will we do? And it was so needed after like the heaviness of chapter 13. Okay, so chapter 14, let's dive in. It starts off again right in the middle of it, which is her mom saying, "Wait, they're not coming. The photographer will be here in 10 minutes." So I guess one of the couples, they basically were trying to give a good deal if they showed up to be photographed by this magazine. I think it's a magazine, Lakeview Monthly. Yeah, I don't know. Because they're up, basically, they're chosen as a finalist for Local Business of the Year by Lakeview Monthly. And so, of course, this is good for their business to be, you know, like the wedding planner of Lakeview. So supposed to be this big photo shoot. The couple that they had worked this deal with backs out last minute. And I really love that mom is so mad that she's like, we're actually going to up the price for them now. Like they're not only are they not getting their deal that was promised to them if they did this favor for us, I might up the price. And I was like, you know what, Natalie, go off, queen. You're right for it. So anyways, so they're kind of panicking. What are they going to do? You know, maybe we can call the magazine and tell them we need more time. You know, like there's got to be some kind of solution to this. And like it's a little bit too late because basically like the lady is there and she's like ready to set up the shoot. So she's like unpacking her camera and she's like, where do you want me? And this is when William has the idea, like we don't need a real bride and groom, just two people to play the part. And her mom points out, like, we're too old and grizzled. Like, no one wants to see us cutting the cake. Like, we can't do this. And he's like, yeah, totally. And so, of course, like, if I imagine this being like a movie, it would do like a cut to like Luna just sitting there like mind your own business and like zoom in on her face, because that's basically what happens here.
Yes.
And she looks up and realizes like that they're looking right at her, and she's like, no way, I'm not doing that. Mom points out, which I'm glad that this was pointed out, again, not like I think that Sarah would not point this out, but again, she is literally a child. So you're like, is that better than two, you know, more mature people getting married? And so mom's like, yeah, like we're not in the child bride business. Like, however, if we just did like, you know, we took pictures of their hands or kind of blurred their faces, then like, you know, no one would even know. So Luna is like really not feeling it, but mom and William are like, this is brilliant. Like, this could work. Like, we've got this. This is a great plan. Luna's like, I'm not speaking to either of you. Like, no way in hell. Ambrose then comes in. He was out getting the morning coffee order, and Luna realizes what they're thinking. And she's like, no, we are. In any world are we pretending to be an engaged couple? Ambrose is, you know, he sees that there's like tension, and he thinks that they've like caught him because he ate some of the donuts en route back to the office. And he's like, yeah, okay, fine. It was two. Like, I was hungry. I'm so sorry. And, you know, like Luna's mom immediately cuts him off, and she's like, this has nothing to do with donuts. Like, we need you to help the business here. And Ambrose is like, oh, okay. Like, sure. What do you need? And so she's like, see, like, that's loyalty. Like, come on, Luna, shape up. Ambrose is immediately down to play along with this. And Luna's like, no, I'm not going to pretend to be engaged to Ambrose. And Ambrose is so into it. He's like, engaged? Oh, this should be fun. Like, he is so, which of course, like, of course he'd be into it and she wouldn't. We all know that secretly they love it. So anyways, they're supposed to be like clients, so she's allowed to kind of like stay in her like sundress. Like, she doesn't have to put on like a wedding dress or anything. But they do need to get her like a ring, and, you know, they're going to do some shots of them flipping through the books, looking at all of this stuff. And she literally has to go, like, get her nails done real quick. She goes and does like a quick manicure at the nail shop down the way, and her mom gives her her ring. And Ambrose is like an absolute delight in this chapter. He cracks me up. He asks her, should we talk motivation? Want to develop our backstory? How long have we been together? All that. And Luna's not feeling it. She's like, no, I don't want to do any of that. And he's like, I think that we met cute. Like, you dropped a kitten and I picked it up for you. And Luna's like, why would I drop a kitten? Like, in what world would that be? Like, a scenario. And that's, he's like, bad. Clearly it was an accident. Like, you know, whatever. And so then he's like complimenting her, and he's like, you smell good. Like, you know, is that vanilla? And she's like, please, for the love of God, like, let's just stop this. So anyways, the photographer asks her to relax her mouth. She says she looks kind of angry, and she's like, imagine that. So yes, Luna is not having it. On the other hand, Ambrose is eating this up. Again, he talks about her ring on her finger. Geez, Sophie, I'm making up words here. And she says, you know, the photographer is directing them, and she's like, oh, like the ring is so pretty. Like, shift your hand a little bit so we can see it. And Ambrose goes, 3 months salary. he told her, insisting still on being in character, but my baby deserved a rock. It's my favorite line in the whole chapter. Like, he is just being a ham. He is eating this up. It's adorable. And mom's kind of feeling it too. She's like, you guys look really cute together, if you don't mind me saying. And Luna does mind, because she's, again, like, she is pissed off about the situation. But wait a minute. There's about to be some sparks. So Ambrose gets in a little closer to her, and he's like, your tag is sticking out. Let me get it. It's what a fiance would do. And she says, you know, a few seconds later, she feels something on her back, and the weirdest, craziest thing happened. I felt something. The unmistakable sudden rush of feeling when your body responds to a touch in that certain specific way. As I blinked trying to process this, I realized that despite my reluctance, I hadn't stiffened even once in all the times he touched me so far. So weird. Is it so weird, though, Luna? Is it weird? Or maybe do you just have a little bit of chemistry with this boy? Maybe you do have a little something going on. So, yes. Again, the photographer mentions, like, we're going to blur your features. Like, don't worry. This is not going to look like a child bride. shoot. And yeah, like the, it's, it goes off like pretty well. They have like a whole nice little shoot. And again, Ambrose just absolutely cracking me up. She again is just like, so like realizing in a sense that she's smitten. She says, even so, when we broke apart, the space between us felt huge, much bigger than it was, as if somehow it was the odd thing now, like them not being, you know, close together and pretending to be in love is what felt strange. I think she likes him. They're adorable. That scene is adorable. So yes, then we go, next bit is also so funny and like so teenage girl. And I love how much like Luna doesn't get it. And Jilly's like, there's a science to this. So we cut forward to a little bit later and Jilly, is discussing with Luna, the lumberjack, the coffee barista that she basically got a number from. And since of course she has this deal with Ambrose right now that she has to date like him and he has to be in a serious relationship with someone for 7 weeks, that she's like, okay, yes, I'm going to be brave and message him. So she texts him, hey, it's Luna, going to a party tonight, want to come? And Jilly's not feeling this. She says it's too much, which she says it's a bit conversational for my taste. And Luna points out that it's 11 words. She's like, I wrote him a sentence. Like, how is that conversational? And she's like, but it's just like how they sound. Like, it's just, it's too much. And she's like, I would have been like, party Tuesday, you win. No punctuation because you're a busy girl. And let him ask who it is. Don't tell him. You know, she's like, it adds mystery. Like, it's this whole thing. Jilly cracks me up. But also, again, like, I have had conversations like this with my girlfriends where I'm like, what did he say? Well, what did you say? Well, how long did you wait to respond? And like, why? Like, why? But we all do. Why? Like, this is so, like, it's so dumb. And just like, yeah, like screenshotting conversations and sending to him, you're like, what does this mean? And they're like, oh, I think it means. And we all like act like we can interpret this. But the truth is, no one knows what we're doing. Like, not a single one of us know what we're doing. But yeah, it's so great. So she then, of course, Jilly asks, like, what did he say? And she says, sure, off at 7. And she's like, he has the upper hand now. Do you see how he responded? How nonchalant? And she's like, no, I don't really understand, actually. And she's like, you know, it sounds like you're twisting his arm, begging him. He's agreeing, not accepting. And she's like, how did you get all of that from the word sure? And Jilly says, it's syntax, context. You have to read between the lines. And she's like, there aren't lines. It's like one sentence. Crawford, who's like her smart little brother, is there literally reading the dictionary during this time, which is also hysterical to me. And he's kind of like chiming into some of the conversation. And Jilly kind of like, you know, tells him to butt out. And so she says that because he said, like, when he gets off, like, you absolutely cannot go meet up with him. Like, he has to meet with you. Like, again, like, you don't want to come off as desperate. And she's like, you know, he has to at least meet you halfway, if not have him come to you. So, of course, you know, like, this is all insane. I refuse to believe everyone strategizes at this level when it comes to a simple date. And then Jilly even yells at her for that. She says, don't call it a date. Too formal. You're hanging out at a party with a group. This is all so silly, but 100% accurate. Like, this is how people really do behave. So she's like, basically, you know, again, she's having to parent her younger siblings here. She's discussing their whole thing. And she says that, you know, like, she's got to get back on the upper hand. And so what is it, the exact thing that she tells her to, like, what's the situation that they're going to be in? Okay. She said, let's meet at 6:45 at my house. In the meantime, text the lumberjack again, but only give the party address I gave you. Nothing else you have to have hand. It's important. So she goes ahead and makes sure that she texts him that, and he texts back literally the letter K. And she basically was saying that, to me, they were just words. All the nuance and meaning Jilly saw invisible. Was this really how it worked when you were seeking? It seemed so complicated. Regardless, I did as she'd said and sent the address of the party. A moment later, he texted back with just a K. From sentences to words to just letters. It was hard to see this as progress and not the other way around. But yeah, so they're being casual. She's trying the seeker life, And that is chapter 14, which again is also a breath of fresh air after chapter 13, which stabs you in the heart.
Also, I do want to mention in this chapter that mom is supposed to take the kids to gymnastics, but she can't.
Oh, yes.
She's too tired. Yeah, and they said the only time she's ever tired is when she's pregnant. And I am like, no.
No.
Nope. 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 Nope.
Yeah. And Jilly literally is like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Jilly is like, I am going to universe. I'm going to Eastview in August, baby or no baby. Like, absolutely not. Like, I'm going.
Which
I'm
is such a terrible thought that she was like, if my mom has another baby, I might not be able to go off to college. Like, that's crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that they have this down to a science. They're like, oh, mom is never tired unless she's like having another kid. And that Jilly's like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'm done. I've done my part. Like, I get to go off to college, which it's like, yeah, you do, because you are also her child. You are not responsible for any of these children. She is. Exactly. Yeah, her family dynamic is absolutely wild to me. Absolutely wild. But yes, I loved Jilly in this chapter. I loved Ambrose in this chapter. They both are cracking me up. But yeah, I don't know why we put, this is why I think we discussed this last episode, but this is why I think like being in a stable, committed relationship, being where we are in our lives married, is so much easier than dating. I hate that. I hate having to read between the lines, look at a text, worry about how quickly I'm texting him back or what I'm saying. All of that is terrible. All of that is absolutely terrible. So
eventually, like, I just stop doing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, I mean, you're either going to think I'm fucking crazy or you're going to like me. And that's just where we're at. I don't care.
I just don't care. I also just started telling people at the very beginning when I started dating them, because I'm very much a person who, like, when I am in a relationship, my world is never going to revolve completely around you. I'm sorry. Like, I have a good relationship with my family. I have a good relationship with a lot of friends who, no offense, my dude, but I've known way longer than you. And I'm not going to stop hanging out with them just because you enter my life. Like, that doesn't mean you're not important. But I was like, if you can't handle, you know, like, I also think it's like, if a guy doesn't have any of his own friends, it's always kind of a bad sign. Like, if he's going to be dumping everything, he expects everything out of you to be his bestie, his confidant, the only person who puts any emotional labor into his life, it's exhausting. So I just started telling people from jump. So that way you can never be like, you didn't, blah, 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 I didn't know this. I was like, I like you. I have full intentions of dating you, but this is what you need to know about me. I also love my me time. I love my family time, my friend time. And if you're not okay with that, like, need not apply then, my dude.
Yeah.
And you know what? I really feel like that started helping me in my life instead of being like, oh, I'm sure he'll understand. No, like, men are so dumb. Sometimes you have to spell it out for them and be like, if you are not okay with that, you're not going to be okay with dating me. Sorry, not sorry. And that's just how it went.
That's just how it goes. Yeah, I love that. That's a great way to do it. Just like, no bullshit. I'm not playing games. I'm not deciphering your text messages. Like, talk to me straightforward or don't talk to me at all, please.
100%.
Not the time.
Nope.
I'm too neurodivergent for that.
Yeah. This brain is barely hanging on by a thread as is. I can't be adding in all this other bullshit. I'm sorry. That pretty much wraps it up. Again, another like easy breezy, not easy breezy because that chapter was rough, but another brisk episode, y'all. We're really killing it. This is how we got to roll, I guess. We're doing great with this. Thank you everyone for coming along on this journey, chapters 13 and 14. When this episode airs, we should be getting close to fall. Should be pumpkin spice time. Football season will be approaching. Good stuff. Good stuff all around. So again, as always, take care of yourself. Take care of others. Take care of each other. It's hard times out there. Give where you can. Do what you can to support the causes that mean most to you in these trying times. Don't turn a blind eye to genocide. And yeah, you know.
Okay, everyone, take care of yourselves. We love you. Bye.